Well, greetings to everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the Big Sell when we come back. Hey, are you concerned about your privacy? Well, how much does your government know about you anyway, and how much do you want your government to know about you? Well, government only knows as much about you as you tell them about yourself, and that's because everything that government, industry, or business knows about you is because you told them. Now, the Fourth Amendment protects you and your person, houses, papers, and effects, but it does not protect you from yourself. Now, can we have privacy in the computer age? Well, you bet we can. Information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and logical manner for later retrieval and use. It's knowing how much information is being gathered and what information is being stored and what information do you want to keep personal and private that actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy. So keep this in mind. No one knows anything about you that you have not revealed by your own hand or by your own mouth. Now, if you'd like to learn more about privacy and privacy issues, why don't you call and ask for our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour program, four-hour set of discs. It's entertaining. It's informative. They're on CD. It's educational. And best of all, it's free. You can just call the school right now and ask for one. Number's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Well, we've been talking about the big sell. It's buying things that you don't need, can't use, don't want, and shouldn't have, like cancer, fluoride, cholesterol, global warming, 9/11, selling nuclear waste as a chocolate additive, I think, would sell in this country. You know, if you can sell poison, fluoride, put it in your water supply and sell that to the people of America, my God, you've got to be gullible. You know that? If I came up to you and said, hey, I'm selling 5 pounds of arsenic today, I'd like to sell it to you in this Kool-Aid, would you want to buy it? I think you'd say, hell no, I don't want that. Well, then why would you want fluoride in your drinking water? Well, it makes my teeth healthy. You see, it makes me get to the point where I don't need to go to the dentist anymore. So we bought into that big sell. Now, not everybody buys fluoride. You know, there are people running around the country here that drink pure water. But I'm pointing out that the majority of people, and after all, it only requires 50% plus one to make the sale. Now, the Heartland Institute puts out a number of publications, four that I know of. They may put out more. I subscribe to four of them. I've got one here called Healthcare News. Now, remember, I went through the budget and tax news, the environment and climate news. Here comes the healthcare news. They got another one that deals with education. It may be education news or something like that. I don't happen to have one of those here on my desk. So I thought, let's take a look at the healthcare news and see what government is trying to sell us. What's the big sell now on this healthcare story? Well, I'm an old-timey employer, and I'm here to tell you that I never paid 5 cents of any of my employees' health care costs. I never paid a nickel's worth of their Social Security. Never paid a dime's worth of unemployment insurance. Now, it's true I wrote the checks and I sent them in, but that wasn't me paying them. That was you, Mr. Worker. You worked for every damn dime. And I didn't give the money to you. I gave it to your guardian because you were medically incompetent, couldn't take care of yourself. You were politically incompetent. Since you couldn't take care of yourself, I had to give your money to your guardian so that your guardian can take care of you when you get sick, when you lose your job, break your leg. Now, there was a time in America when Americans were competent and they could take care of themselves. But over the years, we've become less and less competent and more reliant upon big institutions like insurance companies or government itself. Could be the medical industry. Maybe you're medically incompetent, legally incompetent, politically incompetent, financially incompetent. These are areas of life where most Americans are just plain incompetent. They have guardians. The bank where you carry your money, that's a guardian. It's a guardian-ward relationship. Your lawyer, as soon as you hire your lawyer, you declare yourself to be legally incompetent. The minute you register to vote, well, I'm politically incompetent. I got to have somebody represent me politically someplace. Well, the same thing is true here with health and health care. Americans are medically incompetent, unable to take care of themselves, and they don't want to pay for it either. They don't want to pay to have somebody take care of them. They want me to pay. And government steps up to the plate and says, let us pay. We want to pay for you. We're just real concerned about you. 44 million people, they tell us, don't have health care. Hell, I'm working as hard as I can to avoid it. Just get the hell out of my life, will you? And they want to impose it upon me against my will and over my objection. Now, most of you people out there sitting gasping and saying, oh, it sounds like Judy Hartson in the fourth grade. You know, she used to gasp as she would announce that she was going to run tell Mr. Witt about what little Georgie Gordon's doing now. And she'd always gasp. See? And you remember that? That was Judy, God love her. Well, here in the healthcare news, Mental Health Parity Act passes Congress. Did you know that the Mental Health Parity Act has been enacted? God love them. That's just in case any of you people out there need some mental health coverage. Now, there was a $700 billion Wall Street bailout signed by President George W. Bush in October, and it includes an unrelated but politically popular mental health measure. This is what we call PORC. So we've got a problem here. See, we need to bail the banks out. And so if we're going to bail the banks out, we got to pass this legislation. Well, in order to get certain people to sign on to the legislation, you got to come up to them and bribe them. You got to say, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. You got this law you want, this bill you want this PORC in your district. We'll put that into this bill. Has nothing to do, mental health has nothing to do with the $700 billion Wall Street bailout. But we're going to sell it to the people anyway. And this is a part of this thing called the big sell. This is the way this game is played. This is why I've suggested that you might want to reevaluate your connections with government. Have you ever thought about, gee, I don't know if I want to participate in this program anymore. Now, a lot of times people, well, you have to participate. It's the law. Well, no. No, you got that backward here, Charlie. You don't have to participate. That's the beauty of it. If you want to, you do. If you don't want to, then you rescind the contract and get the hell out, which is what I thought I would share with you here. Now, this Mental Health Parity Act passes Congress. I'm not paying for that. Well, I'm not paying for it directly with income or Social Security taxes or something like that. I pay for it. I pay for it in higher prices. When I go to the store, the guy that is writing the check, he's not paying it either. He just passes that cost on to me, the consumer. So instead of dinner costing me $9, it's now going to cost me $10.50 or $11. And not much. He'll just ding me an extra 50 or 75 cents. And while he's dinging me, he'll ding everybody else that comes into the restaurant or into his store. And he'll make money. The businessman loves this kind of thing because it gives him an excuse for raising prices. And when he raises his prices, he doesn't raise the price the exact amount of what's being charged to him. Hell, he raises the prices 20, 30 times that amount. It's one of the biggest things for business that God ever put into the program. So let me read you a little article. This is called Healthcare News. Now, remember, it comes from the Heartland Institute. Remember, they're heartland.org. That's all you need. There's a webpage, heartland.org. Or you can write down this telephone number. I'll give it to you a couple of times here in this broadcast. It's 312-377-4000. 312-377-4000. That's the Heartland Institute. Now listen to this. This is a hell of a neat way to sell a program. This is the way every businessman dreams of selling his products and making profit, but he can't do it. See, most of us are out here in the real world. But when you're living in Washington, D.C., here's the way you make the sale. Mental health legislation served as the vehicle for the highly publicized $700 billion Troubled Asset Relief Program passed by Congress and signed into law by President George Bush at the beginning of October. House Resolution 1424, the Paul Wellstone Mental Health and Addiction Equity Act, named after the late Senator Paul Wellstone of Minnesota, who fought for so-called mental health parity during his legislative career. It amends the 1974 Employee Retirement Income Security Act to require businesses with 51 or more employees who offer mental health coverage as part of their, or to offer mental health coverage, as part of their group health plans to cover mental health at the same level as physical health. The legislation does not require employers to offer mental health coverage, but requires parity, including total coverage and the size of co-payments if that coverage is offered. Now, the Senate made House Resolution 1424 the vehicle for the financial bailout package. So remember this bailout package, $700 billion? Okay, so that's the vehicle that we're going to put this sale on. So we're going to sell this to you. Now, the U.S. Constitution requires all budget legislation to originate in the House of Representatives. So having passed the House on March 5th and been added to the Senate legislative calendar on March 8th, it met that requirement. Second, the Senate attached the bailout legislation to the mental health parity bill to provide an incentive for House Democrats who originally voted against the bailout legislation to change their votes. So the Mental Health and Addiction Equity Act was extremely popular among House Democrats, with 221 voting in its favor this spring. Now, the legislation, which will take effect on January 1, 2010, requires the U.S. Department of Labor to submit biannual reports to Congress on group health plan compliance. But it has an unintended consequence. Now, before we get into the consequences, who is this legislation intended to benefit? Well, it looks like it was done for you and me, Joe. It's for Joe and Sally Housewife. Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife. No, you misunderstand. Congress does not give a rat's rectum about Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife. Congress is passing this legislation for the mental health workers. It's for the mental hospitals. It's for psychiatrists and psychologists. It's for the health care industry. Nothing more, nothing less. Legislation does not come out of Congress to benefit you. It's there to benefit Pfizer and Merck. It's there to benefit General Motors and Ford. Legislation that comes out is worded in such a way, craftily worded and construed, to appear like it's for you, Joe. We're just thinking about you. When the reality of it is, it's not for you at all. You get to pay for this. There's no two ways about it. It's like that bailout package. You get to pay for that. But if you think that bailout package is to bail the economy out to benefit Joe and Sally Sixpack sitting on Main Street, you got your head up the wrong end here, Joe. That's to benefit the banks. Wake up. Who got the money? You, Joe, or the bank? You know, if Congress wanted to enact legislation to benefit you, they'd cut your payroll deductions by 10 or 20%. And then at the end of the week, when you got through with your job, you'd get some money in your paycheck. Now, that's the way to benefit you. This was a direct transfer payment from the Treasury of the United States. They write out a check and they give it over to J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, and Citigroup. That's the way that game works. That's what that $700 billion bill was. But remember, they voted it down first time around. Okay, so now what you do, you go out and you bribe the representatives. So you bribe the congressman. You say, okay, now what do you need? We want your vote on this. What do we have to give you? And they said, well, what we want is we want you to give us this mental health care package. And that's because they're getting campaign contributions from Blue Cross and Blue Shield. They're getting campaign contributions from the American Medical Association, the American Psychiatric Association. You know, just ask yourself, as old Dan Rather used to say, follow the money. How much money do you give to your senatorial or to your representative's election campaign? I ask people that here in the classroom. I'm still waiting for somebody to raise his hand and say, yeah, I checked off a dollar for the Democratic Party. I've been here for 25 years. I haven't seen one yet. And that's because, Joe Sixpack, you don't give jack diddly squat to your elected representatives, but you can rest assured that all of the big players, all of the big corporations, hell, the big corporations, they not only give money, they give it to both political parties. You know, when Pfizer's writing a check, they write a check for $1 million to the Republican Central Committee and to the Democratic Central Committee. They write two checks. Hell, they're equal opportunity bribers. They bribe both sides at the same time. Now, that's the way that game is being played. Now, here's the way we're going to sell this medical program to you. And here's, there's a consequence that comes from it. You know that? You get to buy it. You get to pay for it. But are you ever going to collect anything on it? That'll be a cold day at hell. All right, now listen to this. Unintended consequences. Andrew Sperling, the Director of Legislative Advocacy for the National Alliance on Mental Illness, called the legislation the culmination of a 15-year effort in a release. Okay, now this Andrew Sperling over here, this tells you the answer. He's the Director of Legislative Advocacy. He's working for the National Alliance of Mental Illness. There's a lobbying group out there, and they've been in Congress for 15 years trying to get this thing passed. And they haven't been able to get it passed because it's a piece of boondoggle legislation that we sure as hell don't want any of you taxpayers to know anything about. And there's groups there in Washington that are keeping tabs on who's doing what to who and when. And so that's why, you know, it's difficult to get passed. And so now you get this emergency, you get this financial crisis. And so a bunch of legislators get together and say, okay, what we'll do is we'll just buy the votes from these other guys over here that we need to get this legislation passed, because they wouldn't vote for it because it's boondoggle legislation. Ah, but here's a bill that they do want passed, and so we can buy their votes for this. And so these congressmen, you know, you ever heard about the president arm-twisting? He's calling these guys and twisting their arms. Yep, that's exactly what it is. Arm twisting, that means he's bribing them. Want me to sign that bill for you? Want me to sign that legislation for you, huh? Okay. You want that pork barrel project in your district? Okay. Here's what I want. Give me this vote. Now, that's called politics, but I just call it bribery. That's what it is. Now, Congress just voted to increase the cost of insurance and, by extension, the number of uninsured Americans. Did you hear that? You see, when Congress voted to increase the cost of this insurance, by extension, they just voted to uninsure a bunch of Americans. And why is that? Because this legislation is aimed at companies that employ 51 or more employees. And so these are the companies that have health care insurance. So now all of a sudden there's a new law. So I'm an old-timey employer. So one day I walk into my accountant's office and I bring in my papers and books. And he says, oh, by the way, George, I got to remind you that Congress enacted this new law over here. And now you have to offer coverage to all of your employees to cover their mental health. Not just their cancer and heart attacks and earaches and stuff like that, but mental health as well. So now I call my health insurance company and they say, oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, we have to offer this new coverage. It's the law. It's the law. They're always careful to point that out. It's the law. See, I wouldn't buy this. And you probably wouldn't either if it wasn't the law. So they enact a law. They just create the customers that they want. And so now my health insurance premiums, you know, I got 30 employees, and let's say my health insurance premiums are costing me $6,000 a month. And so now they inform you, well, now that we've got to cover all these people for mental health, your cost now goes up to $6,850 a month. So you got to pay $850 a month for this mental health so you can send your employees in here to lay on a couch and talk to the shrink. Now, that benefits Blue Cross, benefits Blue Shield, benefits the American Psychiatric Association, benefits the American Medical Association, benefits the Congress, benefits the president. I mean, my God, there's all these people out there that are being benefited by this. I don't deny it. Now, I've got a solution here to this problem. So, you know, I'm running this company, and I'm already paying $6,000 a month, and I say, you know, do I want to pay $6,850? So I'm going to do one of two things. Because, boys and girls, if you think I'm going to pony up $850 a month because I'm a nice guy, you haven't found out what a horse's patootie I really am. You know, being the boss here, let me tell you, this ain't going to happen. So I'm going to raise my prices. So at my first opportunity, I'm going to raise prices on my products or a selected product line to cover that $850. And if you think I'm going to raise prices $850 a month, no, you got your head up the wrong end again, Joe. I'm going to raise my prices about $8,000 a month, not $800, $8,000. And then I sit here and I say, God, this legislation's really good. I like this. Congress passes a bill, costs me another $800. I raise my prices $8,000. Now, see, remember we were talking about this. When governments do this, they raise taxes, and then they lose customers, and they get less net benefit. Well, employers have the same problem. Because, see, I know that when I raise my prices, I'm going to lose some customers. I'm going to lose customers, especially to those businesses that don't have 51 employees. Some little outfit, some little machine shop here across town, got 5-6 guys working. See, he doesn't have to buy that. He doesn't have to pay that. He doesn't have to come up on those fringe benefits. This is what happened to General Motors. See, over the years, General Motors is offering all these fringe benefits. Now they're locked in. Along comes Toyota. They build a factory. They're not locked in. They ain't paying any of these benefits, and they're paying half as much wages. And so they can compete more effectively with General Motors. Take market share. They can just put General Motors under the bed, that's all. You know, just drink them right under the table. So if I can't raise my prices, if I can raise my prices and gouge the public, I'll do that. But if I can't do that, then I have no other choice but to announce to all of my employees, we're going to drop our health care coverage, and if you don't like it, tough. And especially now, how many of you guys out there, if your boss comes into you in the morning and says, we've just dropped your health care coverage, with unemployment now at record highs, running 17% here in the United States, that's the real number. They're telling you it's more like 7 or 8, but the real number is 17% as I speak. How many of you guys are going to say, well, you can take this job and shove it, Gordon, and if I don't get my healthcare insurance and I don't get my added mental health insurance, I'll just go down the street and get a job with somebody that will. Yeah? Huh? You think that's going to be the case, huh? So in this kind of a market right now, in this kind of a circumstance, you're going to shut your mouth and you're going to end up with no health care at all. Now, that's the bottom line. That's the way the game is played. So I'm just here as a reporter to tell you that Congress just voted to increase the cost of insurance. And by extension, they just voted to increase the number of uninsured Americans. There's only so much in the pie, kids. There's just so much there in that pie. And you're not going to get any more out of that pie than is in there. And when you got extra people over here cutting the pie, you know, the extra people out here trying to take a share of the pie, it's either going to leave less for you or we're going to do away with the pie. So I thought I'd pass that on. Now, that's the expertise that comes from this newsletter called Healthcare News. And this one is just dedicated to health issues like medical licensing impedes quality of affordable care. Remember, I told you in the last program that we were talking about taxes. And one of the things that South Dakota has done is they have made South Dakota a more business-friendly environment. See, they don't have a state income tax. They don't have a state personal property tax and a couple of three other things there that I forgot what they'd done there. Now, if the surrounding states have those things and somebody's going to move anyway, so when I got ready to move from California, you know, I woke up one day and I said, you know, I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm leaving California. I was in the contracting business and I just had enough. I had a belly full of building inspectors and all the crap that goes with it. So I said, I'm going to move. And so I looked around and I found Idaho. And I said, yeah, I'm going to give this Idaho thing a shot. Now, Idaho was a great place for contracting, and I went up there and I just cut a fat hog in the back and had a good time. Then I went into the manufacturing business, and I discovered that manufacturing was a little different ball of wax. And so I woke up one day and I said, I ain't taking this anymore. I'm going to leave here. So I was looking for a new place to go, so I came here to southern Missouri, which is, you know, right on one of the border states with the South. Now, remember, I reported this to you. See, here in our state, we have low taxes. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but let me tell you about gasoline. I'm in Missouri, and I don't think that there's a refinery in this state. There might be, but boy, if there's a gasoline refinery in this state, it's damn well hidden. I ain't never seen it. I'm not saying that there aren't any, but I haven't got a clue as to where you'd find one. And there isn't an oil well in this state. Now, I wouldn't tell you that there isn't any oil here and that there isn't an oil well, because there might be a secret oil well somewhere, but by golly, if there is, I've never seen one, and I've been all over the state, and I've never seen an oil well here. And I think we got the lowest priced gasoline in the country. I was out in Casper, Wyoming one time, and the price of gas was about 20% higher in Casper, Wyoming, where they got oil wells and oil refineries, than it is here in Missouri, and we ain't got one of either. Nowhere, no how. Can you believe that? Well, now let me tell you what the price of gas is. Last time I was out looking around, it was $1.43 a gallon. I was talking to a guy from California. They said a little over $2 where he's at, $2 a gallon. And he thinks that's great. He said gasoline hit $5 a gallon at the peak last July where he was. When gasoline was $5 a gallon in California, the peak here was about $3.70, I think, something like that, when it was over $4 a gallon. So gasoline, for some reason, is always cheaper here. I suspect it's because we have lower taxes. We don't have any zoning and planning here in our county. That's another big advantage. Now, I don't know of anybody here in Missouri that's complaining. You know, I'm walking around and talking to people all the time, and I don't find anybody around here complaining. The cost of living is less here. Wages are lower here. Taxes are lower here. The taxes here are $1.54 a pack less than they are in Kansas for cigarettes. You know, just to give you a few illustrations here, gasoline is cheaper than probably, and when I travel around the country, I got to look long and hard. I don't think I have ever traveled outside of Missouri and found gasoline cheaper than it is right here. Now, I might have done that once or twice, but boy, that's going to be rare. Now, that's why I'm telling you, Missouri is a tax-friendly, it's a zoning-friendly, it's a business-friendly place to work, place to do business. And that's why I'm here. Now, other states aren't quite as friendly. And when it comes to health care, that's a That's a hot button issue. And government wants to put in national health care insurance. And why is that? Well, because they want to have compulsory insurance just like they have compulsory auto insurance. And by golly, you know, I would like to have compulsory law school insurance or compulsory law school legislation that everybody has to go to law school. But I want to show you how fair I am. You don't have to come to the Gordon Law School. You just have to go to law school. Now, if we had a law that required that you go to law school and under penalty of law, and we're going to put you in prison if you don't, well, you'd have to go someplace, and I'm one of the cheapest schools around. Oh, I'm way cheaper than Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Brigham Young. And I'd get my share of customers. God, I would love that. And I haven't been able to persuade the legislature to enact such legislation yet, but then I guess I'm not giving them enough payoff. But boy, the medical industry does, the insurance industry does, and that's why the legislature is out here busily trying to pass this kind of legislation. Now, remember this, your employer is not paying your health care costs. What he's doing, he's writing the check and sending it into Blue Cross. And that's the deceptive part, see, because you think he's paying that for you, that you're getting free insurance. Oh, no, Joe, see, he's got that priced into his shop rate. That's why he charges $25, $30, $50 an hour. I was talking to a guy the other day. $55 an hour is his shop rate. So when you call this guy out, you're paying $55 an hour. But he ain't paying $55 an hour to his mechanics. He's paying those guys $17 an hour. So the mechanic comes out for $17 an hour. Now he has to pay another $3 an hour to the government to wrench, and then he's got to pay another $3 or $4 an hour for your fringe benefits and so on. So that's, up to $25 an hour. So now he raises your price up to $55 an hour. And so the boss is making $25 and you're making $25, and then there's $5 in there for the coffee machine. Joe, wake up. You laborers out there are paying every damn dime. And I pointed that out to you last time when we were talking about the city of Pittsburgh subsidizing the garbage collection over here. They're taxing all the people of Pittsburgh $1 a head to pay for the tax subsidies for this little village over here that they're hauling the garbage for. And there's some kind of a deal, some kind of a payoff deal, in which the mayor or the city council or the garbage company or the BFI or somebody is collecting that money under the table. Hell, they might even have it being transferred into their accounts. I mean, hell, when you get so big and bold like J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, and Citigroup, you just go to Congress and say, write us a check for $700 billion and then send the costs to the taxpayer. And if you think that $700 billion is the end of the program, hell, you ain't seen nothing yet. These guys have got big plans for you, Joe and Sally. So the reason that I suggest Heartland over here is because Heartland is trying to educate people. Particularly, they want to educate policymakers. But hey, listen, I can't think of a better policymaker than the guy that's writing the checks and paying the taxes, and that's Joe and Sally, the bottom feeders. You and me. And I can't think of any better people to inform and say, hey, listen, did you know that these guys were doing this to us? Now, what are we going to do about it? And I got a suggestion. Why don't we butt out? That's a wild new idea. Why don't we just butt out and go do our thing and make a lot of money in the process? I had a customer here the other day. We were talking. And he said, well, that all sounds good, Mr. Gordon, but how do you actually implement it? And I say, the best thing you can do to government is to live well. God, they hate it. You leave the system and then go out and live well. Yeah, I got to give you a reminder here. We're at the halfway point that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then why don't you go to our website, georgegordon.org. It's an easy one, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now it's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private school. It's non-commercial, non-profit, and non-sectarian. You don't have to be a Catholic, Protestant, or Jew to come here. And it's open to individuals, but by invitation only. That's what makes it private. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of this can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. So why don't you order one by just calling and asking for it? It's a wild new concept. Just get on telephone, say, hey, you, I'd like to have one of those. And the number you need to call is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use in this program are true, accurate, and correct, to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we endorse are necessarily going to reciprocate. So keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and ask for it? Just get on the horn there. It's the Law Hour and Editorial Review. And you can get it on our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can just call us at 417-273-4967. All right, with a little bit of understanding there under our belts. Remember, this is the Heartland Institute. They got a web page. It's heartland.org. Just go to www.heartland.org, bring up their webpage, take a look at what they've got. They've got 4 of these. Now, they might have more than that. I subscribe to 4. And the one I like the best is that budget and tax news followed by this environment and climate news. Hardly an issue goes by that I don't learn something new. You know, I'm an old man and I already know it all, but I'm always learning something new from these publications from Heartland. Now, there's another little story in here I thought I'd share with you. It deals with medical licensing. You know, licensing. You know, that costs you money. I don't know if you knew that or not. So, you know, they're always telling you, oh, make sure this guy's licensed, bonded, and insured. Oh, my God, don't let him do this if he's not licensed. Hell, the biggest thieves in the industry are licensed. You're not going to find a con man running around here unlicensed. The people that are out here running around that are unlicensed are the guys that you really want. You know, an unlicensed plumber, unlicensed carpenter, some guy that's a private entrepreneur in private business. He's not licensed, he's not bonded, he's not insured, and he doesn't advertise, doesn't need to. And the reason for that is that his work speaks for him. His work speaks for him. Leonardo da Vinci did not need to be a licensed painter. You know, his work speaks volumes for his skill and ability. All you got to do is see one of his paintings, and you'd say, hey, that's the guy I want to paint my picture. If he can do that well with the Mona Lisa, by golly, I think I'll have him paint my portrait. Now, around here, there's quite a few guys that are carpenters, plumbers, and electricians, and they're all unlicensed. You know, I live down here in the Ozarks, and so when I want somebody to come out and do a job for me, what I do is I call up Mike, you know, over at the DX station. I say, hey, I'm looking for a plumber. And they say, well, have you called Bob Haskins? I think, oh, Bob, you know, he's a pretty good guy. I always ask you, well, is he licensed, bonded, and insured? And old Michael say, licensed? Well, I don't think he is. Why would he be licensed? He don't work in Branson. So, I mean, if you want to be, you know, big time, you know, work in Branson, you know, you got to be licensed. But not our local guy. So anyway, that's the way I pick a guy, and then he comes over, he does a job for me. And he can either do the job or he can't. And so I like to start on a small job and say, hey, can you fix that for me? And he fixes it, and you know, you pay him, and hey, that was a pretty good job, and he did it cheap, and I'm happy with it. And so, you know, he got a little bigger job, and you call him out, and pretty soon, you know this guy personally. Now, we got a well driller here. You know, you got to be licensed, bonded, and insured, and so on. We got a well driller here. He's licensed, you know. And I stick with this guy, but long before licensing came, so he got a mandatory licensing law, so he has to do that. But where you don't have mandatory licensing, or where you have somebody who's operating in a private business where he doesn't need it. Now, that's the kind of guy that you want to get, and that's because he's cheaper, and he's probably better. That's my point. He's probably even better. Now, when it comes to medical licensing, boy, the government's right in there licensing everybody, and that's because they're taxing everybody. The purpose behind these licenses has nothing to do with creating competence. All of the medical doctors who are killing 130,000 people a year with bad medication, all of them are licensed, for crying out loud. As a matter of fact, that's why they're licensed. You've got to have a license if you're going to commit a tort or a trespass, because that's the definition of a license. It's permission to do something that's otherwise illegal, unlawful, a tort or a trespass. See, under the common law, you go to some guy and he does you a job and it's a bad job, you sue him. Called a common law tort. You can't sue the medical doctor for a common law tort, for crying out loud. You got to sue him for malpractice. And he's got a built-in defense. If he came in and did the job just exactly the way the book calls for, you lose, whether you're dead or alive. How do you like that? I especially like Dick Armey. He got a writer put on one of these bills, you know, just like the president did here, you know, on this $700 billion bailout bill. So they put this rider on it, and it exempts all of the pharmaceutical companies from liability for vaccine damage. So, you know, you take your kid in, him shot up, and he comes down with autism. Too bad, you can't sue. Now, if you think that's good legislation, you know, you just stick with the program, because you're in Nirvana, man. You've arrived. Now, medical licenses is ineffective and it's inefficient, and patients would be better served by relying on brand recognition when choosing their doctors, writes Shirley Savorni in a new report for the Cato Institute. In healthcare, we haven't used brand names because people have been trusting licensure, Savorni told Healthcare News. But it's a weak apparatus and it's not trustworthy. People put a lot of faith in this license, and it doesn't tell you very much. In essence, you're putting your life at risk, Savorni continued. And patients are misled. Savorni, who teaches economics at California State University at Northridge, and as a Cato Institute fellow, said that she approached this issue as an economist, and she discovered that, contrary to popular belief, private insurance companies and medical boards, not state licensure, vet doctors and are responsible for making them hireable or keeping them in practice. So it's not your doctor that keeps himself in practice because of his skill, ability, or reputation. It's the license board, the insurance industry, and big business that keeps him in business. And doctors kill 250,000 people a year, every one of them licensed, bonded, and insured. Killing 250,000 people a year, either by infection in the hospital, that staff infections, kills 93,000, I think it is, last number I saw, 130,000 through bad prescriptions, that is, they gave you the wrong drug, or they gave you the right drug but the wrong amount, or some combination thereof, or through iatrogenic disease. That is, you came in to have your left lung cut out, but he made a mistake and cut out your heart instead, or cut out your other lung, or made some kind of a mistake. It was a doctor-induced mistake. That kills 100,000. Now add that up, 130, 193. What do you get? And that's what they admit to. That's what they admit to. That isn't the real number. It's higher than that. Nobody admits to all of his indiscretions. In fact, when it comes to vaccination reactions, only 10% of vaccination reactions are reported. And they report 100 deaths a year from vaccination reactions. So we know it's 1,000 or more just from vaccinations. But don't you think you're going to sue the doctor or the vaccine maker because he gave your kid a shot and it killed him, or gave him autism or SID or something else? That ain't going to happen. Now, I want you to notice here that here's a paid professional. Here's a lady with a PhD, and she's sitting here saying, you know, you got two models here. You got brand name, that's reputation, Leonardo da Vinci. And then you've got licensure. Now, the system we use in the United States is licensure. And every doctor is presumed to be just as competent and capable as every other doctor. They're all licensed. They all pass their test. Now, hell, you know, I'm an old-timey contractor, and I can tell you from personal experience. I'll tell you a story here. I built a tower out here about 20 years ago, and there was a contractor came in here, licensed, bonded, and insured, you know. And so I put him on the end of a tape measure, and I held one in. I said, hey, measure that corner over there. Hey, measure this corner over here. And we laid out this little building. It was a water tower is what I built. It was about 15 by 15 feet. Probably 14 by 14 so that it would come out even with 14-foot boards. That was the intended size, 14 by 14. And so I didn't check his numbers. Hell, this guy's a paid professional. Why would I check his numbers? And so I laid the thing out, and we started building it, and we put up the walls, and one thing and another, everything's going along fine. We get up to the second story, and I said to these guys over here, I measured one corner for one side. And I don't know what it was. You know, it was, you know, 13 feet, 9.5 inches, or 14 feet, and or, you know, 13, 11 and a half, whatever it was. I said, okay, cut all of the roof rafters, the ceiling rafters over here, this length. And so, you know, got a couple guys over there, and they're cutting all the boards to fit. And we put the first one up, and it fit like a glove, and we put the second one up, and it was a tad short, and we put up the third one, and they're getting shorter and shorter. About the fourth or fifth one, they don't fit. And I yelled out and screamed, you're cutting the boards wrong. And the two guys are looking like, huh? So they check their measurements. Oh, no, boss. They're exactly 13.9 or whatever the number was that I'd given them. And so then, as we're working on the second floor, I'm sticking my tape up there, and I'm going, well, my God. And this building now is out of square by, I forgot now, 9 inches or something like that. I mean, I'm an old-timey licensed paid professional general contractor too, you know. And this other guy's licensed, bonded, and insured. Here's two licensed contractors laying out a crummy little building over here, and it's 9 inches out of square. So if you think a license means anything, you know, you're out to lunch. The last thing you want to do is depend on my license, for crying out loud. Hell, I couldn't build an outhouse. You know, I looked at the Great Pyramid over there, and they measured that thing up. It sits on 14 acres. That's not 14 feet. That's 14 acres. And they couldn't measure it until 1964. That's when they developed the laser transit. And with the laser transit, you can measure the four corners and see how square it is. It's plus or minus a half an inch. Half an inch on 14 acres. That's a quarter of a mile down each side. Half an inch, plus or minus. Now, the guy that built the Great Pyramid, now that guy, I don't know, I doubt if he had a license, you know that, but I bet you he had a pretty good reputation. And that's the point that they're making here. This medical licensing over here, I know, I mean, you'd be loath to go to a medical doctor that wasn't licensed. But let me tell you, the only people that I know of that can cure cancer are all unlicensed. Just test it. Go into any medical doctor and tell them, hey, I got cancer. What's the cure? And he's going to give you the protocol, and that is, we don't know what causes cancer, and we don't know how to cure it, but we have a treatment, and it's $100,000. For $100,000, we can treat you until you run out of money. This is what the insurance companies are buying. This is what the doctors are buying. This is what you're buying, and that's what the government's selling. Now, there's a controversy that's been stirred up here. The study has stirred controversy in the medical community. Josie Williams, president of the Texas Medical Association, said the state's licensure system is strong enough to ensure doctors do their jobs. Okay. Well, if doctors do their jobs, how come they kill people? Because, see, if the doctor was unlicensed and you go to the doctor, he gives you the wrong drug and you die, that's called a common law tort. You sue him and take his property away from him. That's the way that game is played. And so what that ensures is that every doctor is just as good as the last patient that died. I'll tell you a little story. We had a guy up in Idaho. He was an unlicensed, he actually wasn't a doctor. He was called a midwife. He was a man, a midwife man. That's kind of unusual. He'd been in the business for over 30 years, delivered over 10,000 babies, and as I recall, he had something like 8 stillbirths or 8 deaths. In get this, 30 years, 10,000 births, he had 8 babies die in childbirth. And they prosecuted him every time one of them died. Every doctor in America has 8 or 10 die every year. If you've got a pediatrician who's practicing childbirth and he only has 8 die a year, that's a good pediatrician. This guy worked for 30 years and only had 8 die. Prosecuted him every time. Of course, fortunately for him, he won every time. He had a good plan. But they hassle people that are unlicensed. Why is that? Government is selling licenses. That's why. Government sells licenses. Now the people are out here complaining about drunk drivers. Well, you got all of them licensed, don't you? I know if you get caught driving without a license, God, the police and everybody around you just go berserk. Oh my God, the guy's unlicensed. Like, you know, we're all gonna melt in the hot sun like a ice cream cone on the 4th of July. But hey, wait a minute. Did you know that all of the old timey guys, you know, all those old pioneers that left St. Louis and went out the Oregon Trail, you know, to Oregon? You know, all those. Did you know that all those guys were unlicensed? Not a single one of them had a registered wagon. They didn't have any insurance on their wagons either. And by God, somehow they built the Western United States, and they all got out there and started their families and run their businesses and did their things. One to one of them licensed. Now you've got a whole nation of people that are licensed, spending billions of dollars, stirring up a lot of hate and discontent, dust. And spending money like crazy, killing 40, 50,000 people a year. Hell, they're all licensed. And here's another thing that always kind of got me. See, if you're a drunk driver, people really get upset with you. You know that? Yeah, sure. If you're a drunk driver and you're driving down the road and you fall asleep at the wheel, cross the center line, kill somebody, people want to lock you up for manslaughter. Let's try it this way. You want to drive for a piece, and so you get out here and you're driving and driving and driving, and pretty soon you're stone cold sober. You're a Baptist. Hell, you ain't never took a drink. You're a Mormon, you know, and so you're stone cold sober. And you're driving along, but you fall asleep at the wheel, cross the center line, and you kill somebody. That's okay. That's an act of God. Nobody's mad at you. Now, the other guy over here, he's just as dead. What the hell difference does it make if a drunk driver kills you or a sober driver fell asleep at the wheel? But God help the guy that's driving down the road and kills somebody and ain't got a driver's license. Well, they'll lock that sucker up. He'll never see daylight. Never, never, never. And that's because licensing over here, it sends us a signal. It says, this guy is good. This guy is competent. He has been tested. Well, hell, I'm a general contractor. I've been tested. I found out I couldn't build a 14-foot building and get it square. The guy was holding the other end of the tape over there. He's a licensed general contractor. And evidently, he didn't want to check my numbers because it would embarrass me, and I didn't check his numbers because I didn't want to embarrass him. And between the two of us, we couldn't build a damn building. Well, I built it, but it's just built out of square. And all that means is that you got to cut every board to fit, you know, after the first floor. That's the bottom line. So now when we question this, we need an alternative. You know, we've stirred up this controversy. Devon Herrick, a PhD, a senior fellow with the National Center for Policy Analysis, disagrees. Restrictive medical licensure and numerous other needless regulations have kept physician care a cottage industry. And the accounting industry is an example of how medical licensure should work. For instance, a CPA is not exclusively licensed to practice. Anyone can hang out a shingle advertising bookkeeping to the public. And yet, accounting professionals seeking to prove their skills can obtain that certification to illustrate professional competence. And consumers are free to decide the level of accounting skills that they're willing to pay for. Boys and girls, do you know that every single accountant at Enron was licensed? I just wanted to point that out to you. So this licensing, then, is just a big sell. That's what it boils down to. I don't care whether you're selling driver's licenses or accounting licenses or doctor's licenses. Licensing is a scam. Nothing more, nothing less. And it's promoted. I know you believe in it, and I know you're not going to give it up, but you're going to pay for it every damn dime. If you want to know why medical care is so expensive, it's because there are no competitors. You got no competition. It's like the government dealing with Halliburton and KBR in Iraq. Those are no-bid contracts. Can you understand that? Can you say no-bid contracts, boys and girls? So that's what you got here with the medical profession. You got no-bid contracts. The doctor just charges whatever the hell the market will bear, and you pay it or die. That's the end of the argument. And anybody who tries to compete with them will be put in prison. That's why medical doctors have no competitors. All of their competitors are in jail for practicing medicine without a license. But I want to tell you this. The only people out there that can cure cancer are unlicensed. Because if any medical doctor was to use any of these 14 cures from cancer, he will be defrocked. He will be unlicensed shortly. They don't allow that. There are some medical doctors from time to time that have tried that. And they all get prosecuted, put in prison, and then they lose their licenses. And that's what keeps the competition out of the game. Licensing is for the purpose of eliminating competition. Nothing more, nothing less. That's the purpose behind it. So the big sell on trying to sell people on these ideas of licensing because it's safe and you know this guy is competent and so on. 40,000 people a year are killed in traffic accidents, boys and girls, and for practical purposes, they're all licensed. All right, now this outfit again is called the Heartland Institute. This is the medical, that's healthcare news is what it's called, and it's $36 a year, and you want to go to heartland.org, or call them direct at 312-377-4000. Yeah, I'm out of time here again, kids. I got to give you a final reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. We've got to leave it right there. Hey, we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.